lower your expectations, and put on your comfy pants. You know the ones I'm talking about. It's time for the Mediocrities Podcast.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Mediocrities Podcast, the only show that lets you go inside another man's mind, wander around for about 30 minutes, and still accepts coupons past the expiration date. Welcome. Something new. I did a little traveling this week, and that's part of the reason why my episode's a little late getting out. But I wonder if airports and airplane manufacturers are aware that it's summer. And if it's summer in the South, that means it's hot. It's very hot. And if your air conditioning and your airplanes or your airport is not working, then you might want to tell some people, hey, you might want to wear some bikinis or some shorts and tank tops to the airport because you're going to be sweating dressed up for work. Just letting you know. That'd be a great little public service announcement to kind of give us a heads up, because airports be hot, folks. It's hot. So, and airplanes also, if your AC is not working, yeah, you might want to get us another plane. And I'm just saying, I'm glad that everybody put on their deodorant. Let me just thank everyone who was traveling with me. I did my part to put on my deodorant. I had bathed myself prior to coming to the airport. And I'm grateful for every human being that also bathed and also put on some deodorant before we got into the sweat box called airplanes. So, yeah, a little bit of fun traveling. And I apologize for the show going out a little late. So, yeah, if you're traveling this summer, wow, just, I mean, it's hot. So why? I don't know. I guess I don't travel enough to kind of be used to the torture that is the heat inside of airplanes with barely any air flowing. But, you know, wearing masks and all the things that they, FAA and USA and FBLA and the WNBA make us wear, it was interesting, but I did enjoy myself. So glad I got a chance to get out of town for a little bit, and hopefully we'll get to do that some more, because when I travel, it usually means I'm going to teach, and that's what I was doing, and I had a great time. Let's hear from a sponsor, and then we're going to get into the mind of mediocrities. A little something going on these days.
Now, it is time to journey inside the mind of mediocrities. It's not always pretty, but it is always real. So join me now, will you? Inside the mind of mediocrities.
So inside the mind of mediocrities today, I was looking over the Sunday readings for Sunday. I believe it's the 18th. So Jeremiah 23 is your first reading, and your second reading comes from Ephesians chapter 2. And the gospel reading comes from Mark chapter 6. And specifically when I was reading through the passage in Jeremiah, it kind of got me thinking about, just if you've been on the Twitterverse this week, then you've noticed that a lot of Catholics are kind of hot and bothered over some things that the Holy Father has kind of pushed out. And, you know, it comes down to matters of obedience and authority. And, you know, I think that's part of the problem. And, you know, some people are complaining that the theological sky is falling and things like that. And I don't know, it got me thinking, especially the very first thing that I read in the Jeremiah passage says, "Woe to you shepherds who mislead." And I guarantee you, in some parish, possibly yours, there will be priests who are going to use this passage to say rude things about their bishop, to say rude things about the Holy Father, and just to kind of disparage the whole Catholic Church right now. And I'm going to say that that's bad form. And I'm also going to say that that's not what this passage is about. So if you look through the whole passage, you know, yes, it's definitely, this is a call from from God to the shepherds, the people that were leading his people, and they were scattering the flock. They were misleading them. And God says, you have scattered, you have driven them away. You have not cared for them. And I will take care to punish. I will bring justice. I myself will gather this remnant. I'll bring them back, and I will appoint shepherds, and none shall be missing. And then he says, Judah will be saved and Israel will be secure. The Lord is our justice. And when you think about this, this is actually a prophecy of the Messiah. This is pointing toward what Jesus Christ himself is going to do. He's going to unify Israel, not in a military kingdom, but in the new kingdom of God. This is what Christ was proclaiming. And it was going to be made up not just of the divided kingdom of Israel and Judah, but also was going to include Gentiles. It's going to include the non-Jews and make this kingdom available to all. And so it was very interesting first to read that passage, but then also just to think about the responsibility that is laid at the feet of our shepherds, of our pastors, of our bishops, of the Holy Father. This great responsibility that is there is to lead, not to make names for themselves, not to gather together cults of personality, not to become, you know, media personalities by their own design, but to shepherd. That's their job. It's to feed the flock. And I think a lot of us could point out priests or bishops that we don't think are doing a very good job of doing that. And we could probably try to use this passage to beat them up over the head, but I don't think that's our place. I don't think it's our place to argue and scream and start fights on Twitter and try to gather people behind us that agree and build followers based on, you know, the way that we tell it like it is. Look, if your idea of telling it like it is means you have to be an a-hole, you're not telling it like it is. You're just being an a-hole, and you're using the Catholic Church as your crutch to do it. And that's not what we're called to do. We're called to proclaim the truth in love and charity and humility. And if your argument is always focused on what someone else is doing, you've already lost the humility war right there. I'm just going to say it. And I'm not there yet, guys. I'm just telling you, I struggle with pride. I like to think that I look at things better, clearer, faster, bigger, stronger than anybody else. But when it comes down to it, I'm just a guy. I'm just a guy who has some ideas and some perspectives on things. And I'm always going to think that my ideas are superior. Doesn't mean that they are. It just means that's where I'm at. And I gotta work on pride. It's hard for me to not, you know, want to get pats on the back and people saying, yeah, yeah, yeah. But I've just, the more that I read Catholic Twitter, the more I'm realizing that, you know, there are some of us that are in a position to do something about it. There really are. But it's not me. And it's not the famous the famous radio people either. It's really not. We're not going to change the church. And let me tell you this too, because when I read on down to the gospel message, it's going to kind of make this more clear. But I want to say this: we should trust the process. If you read through the history of the church, you're going to read that we have even had holy fathers who were members of the mafia. We have had leaders, we have had bishops who were not in line with church teaching. We have had holy fathers that had mistresses. We have had lots of corruption and persons who are not doing what the church says we're supposed to do. But guess what? For 2,000 years almost, we're almost at 2,000 years. For 2,000 years, this church has been in operation. It has been tried the people have tried to bring it down from the inside. People have tried to bring it down from the outside, and it just keeps trucking. We can take confidence in that. And yes, things may not be to our preference. Imagine yourselves as an uneducated, illiterate person in the Middle Ages and just having to trust that whatever priest was there was the priest that was supposed to be there, and whatever they said was supposed to be coming from God, and you had no way of knowing any better. Are you going to blame those people who believed false teachings? You can't. That's all they had. And now we live in an information age where everybody thinks that they're smarter than the person that was there 5 seconds ago. And we have already figured it out that, you know, we know better than anybody. We're our own magisterium. And in this information age, it's so easy for us to get an audience and to start talking about things and how it's supposed to be, when ultimately it's just a human being given an opinion. No matter how close you think that you're aligned with what the church is saying, ultimately, until the church says it, the church hasn't said anything. So we have a great responsibility to just shut up and pray and make our requests known to God. You know, when we struggle, and I know that sounds harsh, but it is not up to us to stir up shit, sorry, on the internet. That is not a ministry. Our ministry is to make disciples. That's what we're supposed to do. And we do so in a way that does not draw attention to ourselves. We do so in a way that draws attention to God. When Jesus says in Matthew 5, he says, "A city set on a hill can't be hidden. Let your light shine in such a way that others may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." And if our works aren't pointing people to glorify God, then we're missing out. If our works are just getting people riled up, we're not helping. If our works are non-existent, we're not helping. You know, and I point the finger at myself. This is first at me, but you know, our trust has to be in God and not how I'm going to fix this. Because guess what? You and me can't fix this. This is God's church. And just like you said in Jeremiah, he has to fix it. His church, his problem. Honestly, I'm not being trite when I say that. It's God's church and he has to fix it. And he's going to do it in his way and in his time. But the church isn't going away. The church has been through so much, it's not going anywhere. Related to that, I wanted to point out something. When we're thinking about bad actors, we think about ourselves and we think about just how tired we get and how exhausted we get trying to do what's right. You know, when you read the gospel passage for Sunday's readings, you know, the disciples had just got back. You know, Jesus sent them out two by two. They were out casting demons out. They were healing people, doing things in Jesus' name. And then they came back, you know, and he was excited because they were starting to see the power of God in their own lives. And it's exciting. And he recognized that they were tired. And so he invited them. He said, "Come away to a desolate place. Come away to an abandoned place and find rest." But the people that they had been ministering to and the people that had been following Jesus saw them leaving and found out where they were going, and they actually beat the disciples to that spot. So they got on a boat and they were heading someplace. The people went end around, which means they were trucking in order to you know, fast. The shortest point between the shortest route between two points is a straight line. So they were taking a boat, but these people ran around the coast and beat Jesus and the disciples to the spot. So the crowd was still there. And Jesus was so moved but when he saw the people, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And it kind of harkens back to that passage where God himself says, "I will shepherd them." And Jesus starts teaching them. And I kind of wonder what that looked like, because the disciples were so exhausted from doing this work. And if you watch if you're watching The Chosen, you kind of get a picture of some of this exasperation. The disciples are just exhausted. You know, they're taking shifts and they're like, "When is this going to be over? When do we get to take a break?" You know, there is no break. There is no break. And you think about this as a disciple. You think about this as a parent. You might think about this in your job, that you just seem to keep going and going and going. And people are, you know, they want a pound of flesh. Everybody wants their pound. Everybody wants your time. Everybody wants you to do something for them, or they come to you with their problems, or, you know, your kids need things. And you just want to sit down. "Can I just sit down for 5 minutes? Can I just, you know, at work, can I just clear my head for a couple of minutes?" Well, guess what? You may not have that break. You may not. And especially if you're a parent, there are no breaks for parents. Are you kidding me? There are no breaks, especially, you know, if we're trying to have a large Catholic family, you know, there's always going to be somebody that needs you. And that's, it's easy for us as parents to, to think, oh my gosh, can I just sit down? Can I just put my feet up for a second? I just finished, you know, doing this. You know, I just finished weeding the flower bed, or I just got back from work or whatever. And we just want, we wanted a little bit of me time. But if somebody needs us, then we need to suck it up and go and meet that need, and not with a bad attitude either. And that's hard. And we're like, just like the disciples, like, when is our break? When do we get a break? When do we get vacation? And maybe, you know, people that are able to, you know, just clock out and be done and never have to worry about it again. And that's not you. And it's easy sometimes just to become jealous of people that are in that situation, because we want a break. I mean, I want a break. And you know, sometimes I feel sorry for myself. I feel like I'm the only person having to do things. And I know that's not the truth. But I think that our rest and our strength has to come from something other than what we want or what we consider rest. I don't know if that even makes sense when it comes out of my mouth, but I think that if Jesus is our justice, and he is our justice, we have to trust that God sees the situation and he will make sure that justice is served in his time and in his way, which is usually not the way or the time that I want. And the same is true for rest. You know, a good coach pushes their athletes to the limit, to the absolute limits of their physical capabilities, because the coach sees things that are there that maybe we don't see. Right. And so God is stretching us. God is training us. He is helping us to become stronger by pushing us and allowing these trials and tests to happen when we are weak and when we are tired. Because I think he wants us to see that when we look at what he did, he never stopped. He never stopped giving. You know, Hebrews says that you have not resisted to the point of shedding blood in your struggle against sin. So that's where I'm at. You know, I want things to be easy, but they're not supposed to be easy. And to make things harder, the devil is always going to come at us in a time when we are weak, when we are tired. He doesn't come at us when we're at our strongest. He's sneaky. He's going for our weaknesses. And so, you know, you have just people that need things. People are not the devil. People need our help. People need, you know, whatever God has gifted us with, the gifts he has given us, he expects us to use them. When people are nearby that need our gifts, we need to buck up and share those gifts. And it's crazy. When I was working on this stuff, my materials, I mean, so many things. I had a kid just technicolor yawn. That's a nice way of saying vomit all over a wall and the floor. And, you know, I was so frustrated because the toilet's right there. I'm like, come on. And I want to just be so angry at this 5-year-old. And, you know, think about it. It's a 5-year-old. All they know is that they feel sick in their tummy and they're panicking. They run into the bathroom. They don't make it in time. Where was my compassion? I was just worried about vomit on the floor that I was going to have to clean up. You know, isn't that just, it's selfish, man. And yeah, it's super gross. But the first priority was taking care of the child. And, you know, it's just stuff like that, you know, kids not getting along or just things falling apart at work. And it all just seems to pile up and you're looking for that break and that escape and it doesn't come. But you can't just sit there. It doesn't help for me. You know, what's going to help if I sit there and complain? What good does that do? If I berate somebody, if I blame somebody, say, well, this is happening because of something you did, or if I, you know, start trying to make people feel guilty and ashamed, what good does that do? What good does accusing people do? None of these things help, because guess what? If it's something like vomit on the floor, the vomit's still there, and all the accusing and blaming and whatever, that doesn't fix anything. Sitting and feeling angry or feeling sorry, that doesn't fix anything. What's going to fix it? A mop, Clorox wipes, a lot of disinfectant, and, you know, getting down there and getting it done. That's what's going to fix it. In other words, effort. You know, you have a kid that wakes up late in the middle of the night because they don't feel good or because they had a bad dream, and you're awakened from your sleep and you're angry or you're irritated. None of those things, none of those feelings are going to fix that kid, except give him a hug, help him to get tucked back in, maybe saying a prayer together. That person that comes to your desk and they want something and you're in the middle of a project and you're going to have to stop everything that you're doing, risk your losing your train of thought to fix their problem. Could someone else do it? Yeah, maybe, but they're at your desk, aren't they? Right. So, you know, that's, think about that for the disciples. They were used to doing one thing all the time in their secular lives. And now Jesus is saying, you're going to have to completely donate yourself to these people all the time. That's what your priest is being called to do. That's what our bishops are being called to do. And guess what? If they don't do it, it's not on you. It's on them. And it's between them and God. And God is justice, and he will take care of it because he is the ultimate shepherd. And he will find a way to get us what we need. He'll supply. But think about the pressure that they're under. Jesus never stopped, so they're not supposed to stop. But by extension, you and I are supposed to stop either. So, you know, it's a lot to think about. It's a lot to think about. And I just, the Twitter thing really set me off this week because I just think that we're missing the point. And whether, you know, the Illuminati and space aliens are coming to overthrow the church by, you know, doing things with the Holy Father. If that's what God allows, then there's a reason that God is allowing it. God doesn't let things happen if he doesn't have a larger plan in play. He's smarter than you. He's smarter than me. And he has a plan. He's not ignorant of your struggles. He's not ignorant of his church. He's not ignorant of people that are using his name to do bad things, because they have been doing that since the beginning. And that doesn't excuse the behavior. It just means that God knows what he's doing, and our call is to trust him and to do what we're supposed to do. And I think that's what I'm struggling the most with. Struggling the most with just getting tired and being vulnerable. And, you know, I want a break. I think we all just want breaks, but I think that the bigger call is to get in there and do what God has asked us to do, whatever the situation is that's in front of us. That's what has to be done. And whether we like it or not, we're the ones that are called to do it. So my prayers for all of you in your struggles. I hope that you're able to gear up, get the work done, and then catch the rest when it comes, because God knows what you need and he'll give it to you in his time. But don't look for the breaks. Look for what you can do, and trust that the strength will be there when you need to do it. So we'll close out with something old. I had mentioned a couple episodes ago about having a Twitter dialogue with Howard Scott Warshaw, who was the creator of Yar's Revenge for Atari, Indiana Jones and Raiders of the Lost Ark, and also for creating E.T., the extraterrestrial, for the Atari 2600, which people wrongly claim is the reason why Atari crashed and the video game industry crashed in the early 80s. Anyway, it's not true. But he had a book that kind of gives his perspective of his own career at Atari, and mine arrived Wednesday, and or was it Tuesday? Maybe it's Tuesday. It was Wednesday, and I've been pouring through it. It's just so much fun to read, and now I'm really missing my Atari 2600. So much that I got online, and I looked to see, you know, if people were selling some and how much they were charging for them, and oh my gosh, it's a lot of money for a working Atari. And I could find some broken ones and possibly repair it myself, but I don't want to do that. I just wanted to sit down and play games. So I've been missing my Atari, and I was even going through some old Christmas pictures, like looking through some of Mom and Dad's old Christmas pictures of when I first got my Atari with the pack-in games and the paddles, and I was over the moon with excitement just getting that thing. And then began my quest of trying to get as many Atari games as I could. So I must have had 100 games, because I would go to garage sales and flea markets and things like that and I would grab games. Even if I didn't think they were good, I would grab them if I could find a good deal on them. And I had some games that were definitely my favorites. you know, I really did enjoy, and I loved playing ET because the game was always challenging, and it was fun, you know, and it wasn't necessarily based on, you know, memorizing things, because the people came at you at random, and the pieces were not always we just need to have an entire episode where we go through the complexity of that game, considering that they were limited by 4K, and the book did specify it. They had 4K of read-only memory on those carts, and then the games themselves were like, it's like a tenth of several hundred bytes. And they didn't have a lot of space to make all these things work. And yet in this amazing 4-bit world, they were able to create some really cool games. And I miss those games. Just the coolness of it all for me, especially a guy that didn't go to arcades very much when I was young, because I didn't have any money, but to be able to sit and play games. And when I was, it's funny, when I was reaching out to mom, about the game, she said, "Oh my gosh, that thing kept you in the house all the time." and it's true. She had to literally kick me out of the house and lock the door. And I, you know, and which was, it was easy to go do that when my neighbor friends were around, because we always went and rode bikes and played out in the woods and did all kinds of crazy stuff. But when it was just me, because everybody else was doing something else, it's really boring. So I would usually end up just riding laps around the neighborhood on my bike. And yeah, it helped me later on, because it helped me get real strong legs for doing other things. But anyway, I missed that Atari. What a load of fun. If you have your Atari, hang on to it, because that was really cool. I did find a couple of places online, by the way, where you can play Atari games through an emulator online. Now, I'm not downloading ROMs or anything. This was just like on the archives, but it's as close as I was able to get to playing some of those old games. And so it was fun. I played an Adventure. I played ET. I played, what was the other couple? Cosmic Arc. I played that. And I tried Elevator Action. Tried to get a couple of other games to work, and they weren't loading. So whatever. It was just fun just to kind of poke around and just remember Journey Escape. That was a fun game. So yeah. Hey, do me a favor. I noticed that I got some new subscribers last week, and I'm grateful. Thank you all for coming. If you like the show, if you're having fun with the show, I want you to do a couple of things for me, please. Would you share this podcast with somebody else? You know, whether it's telling them word of mouth or use the little share button to send it to somebody else. Would you do that for me if you like the show? And also, would you give me some feedback? You know, I made some rearrangements into Studio C, and it's a little bit different. So I hope the audio is still pretty good tonight. Also, in that feedback, if you played Atari, what was your favorite game? Maybe leave me a message or shoot me an email. Just tell me a little bit about it. I would love to reminisce with some of you about video games, if that was your thing. And if not, then that's fine. And we can talk about anything else, but I love hearing from y'all, and it's such a blast. And if you're struggling with just being tired or you know, having a hard time as a parent or as a worker or even as a Christian, let me pray for you. And would you please pray for me? We need to help each other in these times of struggle. And I think that's something that it only costs a little bit of time to do it. So I hope that you will let me pray for you. And also, if you would please pray for me, I would really appreciate it. Hope that everybody has a great rest of your time, whether you're listening to me at night or in the morning. Hope that your day or your night goes great, and I will catch you next time. Bye.